Bray, and you're listening to another episode of I Don't Want to Graduate. On this podcast, I bring in some of my best friends, my good friends, and we just talk about things that interest us and that are fun to talk about. Last week, you heard about my roommate. You heard from my roommate and I. And the week before, you heard from a really good friend of mine. But today, you have the pleasure of meeting a very good friend of mine that I just met recently, and that is none other than Devin. Say what's up, Devin.
What's up, everybody? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Before we keep going into the podcast, I just want to say that the intro you heard was from my friend Betabug. Check him out on Spotify. He has great beats, and he's been doing this for a while. Anyway, Devin, how's it going, man?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I just had some rough exams, and I've been working every week, but it's chill.
Yeah, that's the grind, man. I feel like everybody has to do that. Rite of passage, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, dude, I know you and I are both avid sports fans, and I've voiced my opinion constantly that I'm a huge LeBron and Lakers fan.
Okay.
But, dude, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, it's they're not looking too good right now. Well, I mean, they haven't been looking good all season. But, yeah. I mean, everything's kind of come to a boiling point. I mean, LeBron recently said he was, like, in going zero dark 30 mode. And I feel like nobody took that seriously this time.
Yeah.
They just lost to the Clippers, I think. Or they just lost really bad.
Yeah.
A couple of nights ago or last night. And if you guys haven't seen this, I guess I'm going to have to, like, spoil the surprise. But Snoop Dogg had a rant on Instagram, and he said that the Lakers need to ship off everybody except for LeBron. And if you guys are interested, he's selling his box seats for $5, so you guys can get in on that. But yeah, I don't know if it was the general manager or the owner, but somebody in the organization said that they refuted the claims that the whole team wasn't for sale. And today, like, just to add on to this, they just said that sources, quote unquote, have said that Luke Walton's going to be fired at the end of the season. So it's a hot mess.
That is insane, because wasn't Luke Walton helping the Warriors during their prime time not so long ago?
Yeah, but I feel like that's different. The Warriors are already in kind of like a position to win. You don't really, like, your thing is, like, just manage it. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, they've had people come in when Steve Kerr was hurt, and they've won a championship, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's not too hard to coach that team.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
Man, that makes me so sad, because I became a Lakers fan because I was expecting, you know, not a Showtime era, but, you know, something where personality meets basketball, and you just have a lot of personality in this team with none other than Lonzo Ball, who a lot of people follow, and, you know, his dad is pretty much his personality, if I had to be frank. And then LeBron James, the GOAT. Well, at least I think so. But a lot of people are upset, and they're saying that they've never, ever seen Michael Jordan give up on a game compared to what LeBron's doing out on the court, you know?
Well, at this point, and I was thinking about this last night, which is, like, crazy since we're talking about this. It's not really fair to kind of compare the legacies just because of the difference in eras, right?
Yeah.
Like, Mike's era was all about consistency and loyalty. But now, even in, like, pop culture is kind of permeating in a basketball, or I don't know if it's the other way around, it's kind of like, let's do what's best for me, or like let's focus on my career in general. And LeBron kind of understood that when he was going to LA, it was an unknown. And I think in the back of his mind, he knew that this may be a possibility, that he probably wasn't going to win a championship. And, you know, like, maybe he might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think this move was more than basketball. Like, you see, he was an A&R for 2 Chainz's last album. He's been producing a lot of things. He even helped, I want to say, Octavia Spencer get equal pay for a movie or a TV show.
Oh, I didn't
even
know that.
Yeah, and he has his toes dipped in so many different things. And I feel like he's kind of expanding his legacy outside of basketball.
Oh, for sure. Like, he came out in that movie about Bigfoot or something like that.
Smallfoot or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And then also he's producing Space Jam 2.
And he's acting in it.
That's amazing, man. I'm so hyped for the movie. I mean, you're going to see so many people going to the premiere, and it's going to be a bunch of us that are, like, in our 20s and 25s, because it's going to come out.
And you're going to have the young LeBron fans, too. You know, like my little cousin who's 11 or 12 or whatever. They're going to go watch it.
yeah, it's going to be super exciting. But, dude, let's talk about something else.
Okay.
I don't know if this relates to basketball in any way. Maybe LeBron and Lonzo and all the guys are about to get shipped off. Maybe they have this conversation. But friends versus acquaintances, and how do you know which is which?
Well, you want to take this away? Because I've moved a lot, so I have a lot of insight on this.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. I'll start off. And then, yeah, I think that's a really good point. Acquaintances and friends, that's rough. Acquaintances, I think you hang out with them at school. Mm. You see them every once in a while. But if you had the choice between, you know, the people that you hang out with and, you know, the people you see at school, you would normally choose the people you see outside of school.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it just comes down to people you see outside of your time that you have, you know, liberty to choose who you hang out with. And also it's who you confide in and who you share your hobbies, your personality, and the things that upset you, make you scared, and things that excite you with, you know? That's just kind of like my textbook version in my head. I don't know. What do you think, man?
All right. I'll kind of lay it out like this. So work. You're cordial with everyone at work, right? You guys don't really beef. There's not a problem. You get along well, but you wouldn't necessarily hang out with them outside of work. That's an acquaintance. Whereas a friend is somebody that, you know, they may live in another state, but you'll FaceTime them and you'll talk day in and day out. Or, you know, a friend like even this, you know, inviting me on for a podcast, or I invite you over and see if you want to shoot, or if I go to a party where there's, you know, football players or whatever, I'm like, you want to head over, you know, I would invite you, and just stuff like that, you know. Friends are somebody that you go out of your way to spend time with, and acquaintances are when you happen to be in the same place, you guys get along.
Dude, that's a really good take on it. You happen to be in the same place as them, so you get along. I really like that. Also, one thing is with friends, you can call each other after weeks of not talking to each other, months of not talking to each other, and it's normal.
Yep.
It's super chill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's really cool. But yeah, dude, you've been kind of all over the place.
Yep.
And do you think you prefer having a lot of acquaintances or a close knit of friends?
I think it's actually a good mix of both, because you're going to have to pick, like, okay, so for example, I've moved to Tallahassee twice.
Yeah.
I've moved to Auburn twice, and you want to kind of like not burn bridges, so you can kind of pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I may have one or two close friends in Auburn or Tallahassee, but when I come back, I still have people that, if I need something done, I can reach out to them and be like, yo, I'm selling this. Do you want to buy it? Or, you know, I'm looking for somebody that can do this. Do you know anybody like that? You know, just kind of like keeping a network.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the cool thing about it. But I like happened to come across this with my roommate, and we were just talking about it, and it's kind of rough, especially I think it's most confusing in high school, because dude, there are so many people that you think are your friends and they're just your acquaintances.
Yeah. I mean, and especially for me, it was kind of hard because I was moving, and, you know, you kind of know instantly which people click with you and which people don't. But, you know, especially when you're playing sports, you have to deal with these people, and they may only be acquaintances, but when you have to spend, what, you're at school for 6 hours and you spend more time with them than anybody else, it's kind of like you're forced to be with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys probably spend more time than you would, you know, just because of sports and traveling, and, you know, they're acquaintances, but they're not like friends.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was actually going to talk about that, how like in high school, or, you know, even in college, if you are involved in organizations or sports or something of the sort, you see those people more often, so you're more bound to become friends. But yeah, it really depends.
And it's really weird too, because like I said, I played basketball, but I was so into the arts that a lot of my friends would be the artsy kids instead of the basketball kids.
Yeah.
And of course I would hang out with some of the kids, like my best friend actually plays basketball for North Carolina, and we talk, we send each other poems and everything. And we just happen to have that common interest.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you're going to find your friends, you know, if you're interested in something and you're passionate about something, you're going to find them. Like, you know, the photography for us, you know, our interest in entertainment and, you know, making things. So
yeah,
it works out that way.
Do you think it's easier to make friends with people that have the same hobbies as you?
Yeah, for sure. Just because you guys always have something to talk about, you know, yeah. like talking with a girl, you know, you guys kind of know you are as a guy. I know within maybe the first day if this is going to work out just because of
yeah.
little things or sense of humor, little tics. Like, and I don't know if that's because I move so much and I run across so many people. But I mean, you just know when you meet a good friend.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I think we talked a good amount about that. Now, let's talk about knowing when to let go. And I think this kind of ties into friendship because there are some friendships that you need to let go of.
Yeah.
Because they're toxic.
Yeah.
I have something similar, and it was my best friend group from high school. And these dudes I would call and message and talk to every single day. I had group messages with them, like multiple. It was weird. Mm-hmm. But eventually came the point where I was almost feeling like I was a scapegoat, and, you know, people would make fun of me, and the jokes ended up around me most of the time. Mm-hmm. And while it's all fun and games and it's, you know, your friends and stuff and it's super chill, I snapped once and I just got upset and I was like, dude, I do all of this stuff for you, and this is exactly how you treat me. Mm-hmm. And I know it kind of gets a little bit confusing, and not necessarily confusing, but a little bit hazy because, well, if you're in a friendship, you don't do stuff so you can hold it against them.
Yeah.
And at the same time, a friend doesn't treat you like crap, you know? So what ended up happening was I called him out on it in front of all of our friend group, and my friend group did nothing. And my friend pretty much just disassociated himself from me, and I did the same thing. And I didn't talk to these guys for like straight up 2 years. Mm-hmm. And while it's all cool, I ended up apologizing because, you know, I wanted no bad blood with anyone. Mm-hmm. I let them back into my life, and, you know, I still keep them there, but no way do I see them as best friends anymore. No way do I see them as like important people that I have to prioritize. I see them as people that are in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I totally understand. And I feel like the definition of a true friend is somebody like you said, you went 2 years without talking to these people. I wouldn't be able to go 2 years without talking to, you know, any of my friends' friends. You know, you go 2 years without talking to an acquaintance. And I think the definition of, the feeling of when to let go, or the feeling that you made the proper decision by letting go, is like when you stop talking to them, do you feel relief? You know, do you feel like, you know, do you not think about them the next day? You know, because sometimes, I mean, and I relay a lot of this back to talking to girls, but, you know, you talk to a girl and things are kind of rocky, and then you stop talking to her and you're like, whew, you know, like that's a relief. That's letting go. That's because that wasn't supposed to be in your life. So even with the friendship, you know, you hang out with these guys and then you stop and you're like, I don't miss this.
Yeah.
That's when it was, you know, that's when you made the right decision to let go.
And that's exactly what happened to me, man. Like, I stopped talking to them, and it was weird because my freshman year, we all went to different colleges, and most of them pretty much paired up, except me. I went by myself, and we all kept in touch through online gaming, and I just pretty much stopped after that incident. But I noticed that, like, I was achieving way more, you know, just by not even playing video games, just by going out and, like, seeking opportunities and saying, how can I better myself? And from that, you know, I was able to get a lot of opportunities that I normally wouldn't. I got a lot of hobbies I normally wouldn't. And it's cool. Like, it's true. I felt so much more relief. But I also felt relief when I let them back into my life. Once I accepted and realized who they were, who I was, and where I want them in my life. Because I think that's an important part, man. Just realizing and accepting where you want someone in your life. Do you agree on me on that?
No, I actually, and it's crazy that you say that, because I actually had to realize that this year. I mean, I was to a point where I was like, you know, if you can't be in my life the way I want you to be in my life, then, you know, I don't necessarily need you. And the fact that I'm saying that is crazy, because now that I look back on it, it's like, that's such a toxic way of thinking about it, because some people want to be in your life in a certain way. And like, who are you to kind of like negate them? You know, like, some people want to genuinely just be around you, but not in the capacity that you want them to be around you. So, you know, like, you have this energy, and if people want to be around you, then like, let them, you know. And they don't have to be around you 24/7. They don't have to be your best friend. They don't have to be somebody that you don't talk to a lot, or somebody that you only hang out with a certain amount of time. But, you know, anything positive you should welcome into your life.
That's a very, very good point, man. I agree 100%. But, you know, let's talk about positivity and let's kind of transition that to guilty pleasures, man.
Yeah.
Just a little fun topic we can talk about. Guilty pleasures, man. I love it when I clean my room. I'm not even kidding. Every single time I do a podcast, I clean up my room. And it's a weird guilty pleasure because, you know, like my mom is a huge cleanaholic. Like she will, whenever she comes and visits, she just cleans the whole apartment. And like, I feel like that's in me now. So that's a guilty pleasure of mine. But another one that I love doing, and you're going to hate me for this because I always talk to you about my fitness goals, but I love going to the local grocery store, HEB, and just getting like a bunch of like salty chips and stuff right after taking an exam. And I just munch out, man. Like, that's like my guilty pleasure. Like, but it has to be right after an exam.
Oh my God. No, no, no. Okay, listen, check this out. So my guilty pleasure, I'm not going to lie. Well, I have two of them. Sweets, well, okay, three, I guess, and they all kind of go into the same thing.
Yeah,
sweets, like shopping and colognes. That's crazy.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
But so if you guys don't know, you can follow me on Instagram, Devin Chance, DevinChanse, and I'm a model, and I've shot with Ray, and that's kind of how we became friends over our love of photography and modeling and everything. And I had this model camp, right? It's a big time model camp.
Yeah.
It's for my official portfolio. I'd ate clean for like 3 weeks. You know, I was in great shape. And then the moment I got home, I was like gorging cookies and like ice pops and everything, you know? And then I looked at myself the next day. I was like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done that. You know? And colognes, like for Christmas, I think I got 4 or 5 different colognes.
Ooh.
And they came with a bunch of testers and like lotions and everything, and like I have to smell good. And last week I probably spent way more money than I should on clothes, but you know, you gotta look nice. So
dude, I think I'm the same way. Like, I have to be spending money. That's horrible. Like,
I know.
Yesterday I'm shooting South by Southwest this year, and I'm getting prepped for the festival. So I need a bunch of things to be safe. Like, I need an extra battery charger for my phone.
Yeah.
So I bought a $50 one from Amazon that was apparently super good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know what? I need an extra battery for my camera. So I bought an extra, and now I'm at 4 batteries for my camera, even though I have one camera that I'm going to use. And then I bought 20 AA batteries, an extra flash head. I bought new pants. I bought literally everything you can think of just because I felt like I needed to buy something. It's weird. I have these compulsive like needs to buy things.
I don't know. I love fashion, right? Like,
yeah.
All my Instagram feed is like, you know, outfit inspirations and everything, fitness stuff, like acting and modeling stuff, like my actual interests. And like, I'll see something and I'll be like, you know what? Like, I want to pull that off. So I'll go buy like some Vans, or I'll go buy a t-shirt from like this underground, you know, designer or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? That will go really good with this. So then I go buy something from like Calvin Klein, and then it just like starts tumbling down until I spent like so much money that I'm like, how am I going to pay for gas?
Dude, that's exactly how I feel with camera stuff too, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I got my tax refund. Heck yeah. My internship went well. I'm going to get a pretty decent tax return.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I was like, I'm going to buy a new lens.
Yeah.
Boom. 1.6 down the drain. And it's like, okay, well, can I make it back? So I started getting payments back from, you know, future clients or future shoots. And then I'm like, okay, well, how can I reinvest this? Oh, you know what? Let's buy some more stuff. Like another light stand, another light, you know, some more podcast stuff. It's a spiral, man. Like,
dude, you wouldn't believe how many acting books I have.
Ooh.
And I have like, it's like you read them and then it's like, what next? Because you can't learn anything unless you're in the class. Like, you just know what they're talking about. But I have so many acting. I know pretty much every method, even though you don't really learn anything until you're in the class, you know?
Yeah.
And I have like clothes, shoes. I still have stuff coming in that I bought from like 2 weeks ago. So,
dude, it's funny because whenever I go to the front of my apartment office and I pretty much go to pick up my, I guess, shipments, they know my name.
Yep.
They know exactly what I'm there for. It's like, all right, give me 1 second. And it's so funny because like not so long ago, they're just like, what's your last name or what are you here for? And now it's like, all right, he's got another package. And it's kind of insane. I just hope they don't think I'm like this, you know, crazy obsessive buyer.
Yeah.
But dude, so you talked about modeling. mm-hmm. and he talked about your love for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want your future goal, or like, what are your future goals, and what would your dream thing be to star in?
It's crazy because I think about like everything you're asking me. I think about this all the time.
Yeah.
And ultimately for the actor, or at least for me, it's getting a script that really speaks to you and affects people in a way that you want them to feel, right?
Yeah.
So for example, like Moonlight, you know, when I started acting, ideally Moonlight wasn't like a, it wasn't like a script. I don't know if I wanted to be a part of something like that. And then you see the response, and like, I was in the back of the theater watching Moonlight, right? Or excuse me, that was Beautiful Boy, but Moonlight, still all the same. It kind of, like it spoke to an audience that wasn't, that didn't necessarily get a lot of messages.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of want to be able to affect people and inspire people. Like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I was in a short film and it was screening, and I was in three, I was a lead in, or excuse me, I was in like four or five. I was a lead in two or three, and I was a support character in the other two. One of the films I was in was about color and about loving your skin and melanin. And my character, his line was, I don't like black girls, I like foreign girls. And when I said the line, like, the character wasn't inherently bad. He was this good guy, like, he was a nice kid. But when everybody, when they heard me say that, they were hurt, right? Because they felt her pain.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it made them feel the message even more. So, like, even though I got the backlash for that, like, everybody was like, oh, he's a jerk, what? Like, my performance made them feel that, and ultimately, they got the message from that.
Yeah.
And when people become, you know, just a little bit more empathetic because of something that you did as a character, I don't know, that's like, it feels like Nirvana, you know? It makes you feel amazing.
That's a really cool way to put it. And that's cool that you did that. Is there any recent films that you would have loved to participate in any way possible?
Well, I mean, any of them. You know, I want that check. Yeah. But recent, you know, I watch a lot of movies, and this past Oscar season was amazing. And, you know, given the opportunity, I would be in like a lot of these films. But I got to go back a little bit further, and my all-time favorite movie is Fight Club.
Ooh.
And I mean, if I could be in anything like Fight Club, you know, Tyler Durden, he's the embodiment of like toxic, you know, male ego.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I feel like I kind of fit the build, you know, I could play something like that. And I don't know, it's been a dream of mine to play something. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But Tyler Durden, a character like him would be insane. Especially nowadays, you know, with everything they're talking about, that would kind of shed light on that. You know, it's time to evolve. It's time to grow as a man. In mid-90s, too. I want to be in mid-90s. That would be pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Do you think Fight Club would receive the same praise it would if it was released today?
Yeah, because back then it was relevant, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Because it was the 90s, and we were still in that machismo culture where it's like the man rules everything. But now it's a time where, you know, we're understanding that sometimes that's like not okay, you know, like men can have feelings, men can be a certain way. And Fight Club appealed to both sensibilities, right? Like,
yeah,
the rough, gruff guy. But at the same time, the beginning of the film was or one of the opening scenes was this guy crying crying on top of Edward Norton.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, this is what happens when toxic male toxicity is like allowed to run rampant. And, you know, I feel like it'd be pretty prevalent now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think my favorite film that made its debut into the Oscars, at least for this iteration of it, was A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
I love that movie, man. I think Lady Gaga killed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the original songwriting in it, fantastic. But I did have a lot of friends that did complain that it's another iteration of a movie that's been released before. And they honestly were pretty upset with the Oscars, and they felt like it wasn't truly representative. They were also really upset about that one movie that did pretty well, I think.
Green Book. Yeah. I went and saw that one.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, within the industry, you kind of know what they're looking for as far as the Oscars are concerned. And if you don't like the Oscars, then just don't watch it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
This is an industry, you know, this is an industry event. It's for the industry, and they're letting you guys watch it, you know? Like, you guys, like, if everybody had a vote for the best film, then they wouldn't be able to calculate everything, you know? Then, like, some crazy indie or something. And, I mean, not to say that your opinion, like, that people's opinions don't matter, because they do. Like, they definitely do. But there are other award shows, you know? There are other events for films and everything. And there's a bit more diversity there. But I feel like with the Oscars, you kind of know what you're going to get, you know?
It's a formulaic thing where people can pretty much figure out, you know what, that's going to be that, or, you know, that's going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I think also one other thing that surprised me, which was Album of the Year, Kacey Musgraves, over Black Panther album, which I thought honestly was going to be it, because I think that was a fantastic album.
Yeah, it was crazy. That, oh my God, that album encapsulated the entire movie, like the aura, the attitude. It was Kendrick Lamar. Oh my gosh.
And that, like, was amazing to do that with multiple people that are top quality.
Yeah,
that's insane.
And like the underlying theme was like the Black experience, you know? They had Georgia Smith, who's from, you know, Britain or the UK or whatever. She came over and did a track. So it's like, you know, they kind of just honed in on this one thing and was able to just make a soundtrack for a movie that went crazy.
Yeah, because I mean, usually when you think of movie soundtracks, it's kind of like, oh, you know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was just like, wow,
yeah,
that's a good album. And it almost became what people would think, you know, like like a Kendrick Lamar album, where it's like really, really favored and, you know, ingested well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just for a movie, which was insane.
But I feel like, you know, and I know you like don't mean it like that, but just for a movie, I feel like Kendrick kind of understood the weight of this project, and the fact that they like reached out to him and was like, we want you to do this, and this is what this music was for. It was just a perfect storm, you know, like the cultural impact of Black Panther and then the album and everything. Like, it just came together so well.
Yeah, he knew what he had to do, and he put in the effort because he knew it was that, I guess, grave, or not grave, but that serious.
What was at stake?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
But do you have anything else you want to talk about right before we go?
So, you know, let's talk about being driven. I don't know if you're talking about that or if you've spoken about that.
No, before. No, I haven't. Yeah, I haven't actually.
Yeah, I feel like that's what kind of attracted me to you as far as our friendship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're so driven, man, like photography, business, everything you do. And I'm like, I want something like that in my life. Like, you know, that energy, you know?
Yeah.
People that are going to push you to do more. Like, when you told me you did South by Southwest, I was like, dang, man, what am I doing? Like, I have all this stuff on the table, but you're shooting South by Southwest. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm going to support you in everything you do. So let's talk about where you got your drive from, you know? Like, what makes you want to push yourself?
Dude, actually, that's insane that you're turning it on the host. That's insane. I love that, though. That's cool. And you should definitely make a podcast, man. You're killing the game right now.
I appreciate
it. As far as my drive goes, I guess it has to stem from my family.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look into the Myers-Briggs and the StrengthsFinder and all of these business tools that are used to analyze a person's innermost workings, I find myself to be family oriented, futuristic, and very much a leader. And I think all three of those, you know, really stem from my roots. You know, growing up, my family wasn't necessarily poor, but we were barely making ends meet. College was something that my parents didn't do. And seeing my parents kind of struggle throughout my entire life was something that I knew I had the liberty of changing in the future. And it was just me, I guess, getting the drive to be good at anything I put my mind to. And it was funny because I felt I was pretty decent at track in middle school, and I was pretty fast, and some of the people I would beat in those little sixth grade races I would race against, they were eventually the quarterback of my high school. And it's like, I mean, obviously I would not be able to even get near them or anything, but then I found something else that I was really passionate about, and it was music. And it was music through an instrument that is actually kind of, I guess, weird, and it was the tuba. And I went in middle school, and I wanted to learn it so much that I was like, okay, well, what's the next step for me? And I learned you know, that I could compete against high schoolers. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to compete against high schoolers. I did so, and I actually fared pretty well against them. And then I made state. And then, you know, it just kept stemming from there. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a scholarship, full ride scholarship, make my parents proud. And while I wasn't able to get a full ride, I was able, definitely able to help them. And I think ever since then, it's just been pretty much about supporting my family and making sure that they get the best things possible. And I think it also stems to seeing my parents mistreated in front of me, not necessarily by each other, and they love each other so much. It's just more about, you know, hearing stories about how my mom was crying from work, or, you know, hearing how my dad got extremely frustrated with people that, you know, made fun of him at work, or something of the sort. And it fuels me because I know that my family name is worth so much more than others make it seem to be. And I'm not scared of failing. That's like the one thing I've come to realize, that if you're scared of failing, you've already lost.
I completely agree.
What about you, man? Where do you get your drive from?
It's weird, right? Because I have like this, I've always had like these looming premonitions that I was supposed to be influential. Like I was supposed to do something of prominence, you know, that I was supposed to not necessarily be importance, but I was supposed to affect people. And like, I don't know, like my dad is probably the hardest working man that I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, there would be nights when he was coaching for the Dolphins. He would come home at like 1 or 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30. I'd already be asleep because I was a kid. And then he would leave at 5 to go to work, you know, and I'd ask my mom. I wouldn't see him in a couple of days, maybe a week. And I'd ask my mom, did he come home? And of course he's coming home, but you know, he's working his butt off so that we can eat. You know, he's working his butt off so that I can go to school. And even now, you know, like he's driving, flying, doing this, doing that. And I get to spend more time with him now because of just the level of the job that he's working now, and how I'm in college now. I'm going where he's working. But he just worked his butt off. My granddad used to work with like hurt backs, you know, messed up hips, you know, going to work just so that he can make ends meet, you know. My uncle, you know, he works extra, you know, overtimes, picking up people's shifts so that he can get paid, you know, so that he can live like a nice lifestyle. I see all these people in my life that are working their butts off, and it's like, it doesn't matter what I do, but I have to do something.
Yeah.
And I have to work my butt off at it. And I might not be the best in school, you know, like truth be told, school isn't a big deal for me. You know, I'm doing it so I can get this degree and I can make my parents proud. But, you know, the fact that I found modeling and the fact that I found acting and even, you know, working out, I work my butt off because, you know, you have to go get it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to give it to you. You know, I literally packed. I was in Tallahassee, Florida. I was in an environment where I love Tallahassee. It's probably my favorite place I've ever lived. You know, just the culture, everything, everybody, you know, it was great. And I was in a position where I was doing student films and their IMDb credits. You know, you look me up on IMDb, you can see the films I've been in. And, you know, I did 4 in 1 year, the year I started acting, and I was poised to do 4 or 5. And these guys are real directors. They're going to go to Hollywood and they're going to make real movies.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, I want to kind of take this to the next level. You know, I don't feel like I'm being pushed here. I need to grow. So I packed up my entire life, my apartment. I literally got a townhouse, right? Like I was gonna live the dream.
Yeah.
But I moved out here and I have to like live with my parents right now.
Yeah.
But I'm taking acting classes, you know, I have an agent, I have representation. I'm on the next level, you know, and I'm still trying to grow, you know.
Yeah.
And I just have like this feeling, you know, that it's not my time yet, that everything's gonna kind of come to a head and all this hard work is gonna pay off. And like, I don't know, like there's going to be this level of gratitude that I've never felt before.
Yeah. I definitely resonate with that a lot because I definitely feel at times like, you know, my photography, it started off super duper bland in a sense of manner, but I was driven. I liked it. And I kept asking people, do you want me to take your pictures? I can do it for a fair price, you know, compensate for time, whatever. And then, you know, every single time I would do it, it's just pretty much like, oh man, I suck. Or, you know what? Like, I could have done this better. I could have done this better. And the more I go through it, it's like, I can't believe I'm here already. Like, my dream setup, I already have it. And I was dreaming of it a year ago. And I said, oh, if only I had that, I would be untouchable. Oh, and now that I have it, and it's like, I'm still chasing, and it's weird. It just,
yeah,
it's the pursuit of dreams. Yeah. That's insane, man.
And it's like you're never gonna get enough. Like I have a big board on my and on my wall,
uh-huh.
and I set my semester goals, I set my year goals, and I set my life goals. And it's crazy because if you write it down, like the propensity of you completing it is like ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything I write down, I do. And it's like, you know, you reach it and you're like, okay, let's celebrate for a minute. All right, what's next? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just don't, it builds your confidence, you know? You feel like you can do anything.
Yeah. But Devin, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was definitely a great time. You're an awesome person to have on the podcast, and I can't wait to bring you on more. Other than that, feel free to follow him on Instagram, and that's Devin Chance. Chance with an S, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, thank you all so much for listening. Stay tuned and have a good one.